morning. As we've been going through the book of Philippians, we see once again Paul's heart for this church at Philippi. And we see that in the beginning he talks about the things they have in common and encourages them to keep on keeping on. We see his heart to be with them. We understand that even with Timothy, we looked at that he talked about Timothy and talked about having Timothy for them. We talked about even Epaphroditus last week and that given there. Now he comes to chapter 3. And remember in Scripture, there wasn't the chapters and verses breakdowns as we see it today. It was a flowing that came into one thought, into the other thought. Now, we look at verse 1. Look at verse 1, and we're going to just look at this real quick, and then we'll get into the message and give some thoughts here. But you see in verse 1, the first word, finally. Now, how many love to hear when a preacher says, finally? But how many have learned when a preacher says, finally, it doesn't always mean finally? Anyone find that before? Anyone ever hear, in conclusion? And sometimes you think, well, in conclusion, it's going to be quick. All right, we're already there. All right, great. And the conclusion lasts longer than the rest of the message. How many even know that? All right. So we come to this word finally, and we're going to talk about what that word finally means in this portion. But he is going to share a thought with those here in the church of Philippi. But he wants them to understand they need to be on guard. There's some safeguards for a believer. Some safeguards for a believer we're going to look at this morning. There are some things that we need to set up in our lives as precautions or safeguards to help us be what God would have us to be. As we look at this portion, he's talking to the believer, and he says there's some things that are going to help you because of the culture and because of the time of day and because of what you're facing. There's some things I want to address. We're going to look at the culture of that day. We're going to look at what was happening. What was some of the teachings? What was some of the thoughts behind why Paul was addressing this church and telling his church these certain things? Do you know you and I need, as believers, need to have precautions in our culture today? We need to set up some safeguards in regards to our day and age and into our culture, what is facing. Now, some of you, you remember when you had a child? Now, some of you are older, not old, but older, and you didn't do some of the things that newer parents do today, all right? But some of the newer parents today, when they're going to have a baby, they safeguard their house, all right? They get the little things to put on the corners of their coffee table, the little cushion things. They get special things to plug in the outlets so they can't, or you get special outlets so you can't stick something in there. And you do that. Some of you say, well, we did that on purpose because they did it once and they never did it again. That's child abuse. We're not going to get into that this morning. But you set up precautions. You set up safeguards because you want to keep your child safe. Now, some of you have children that even though you set up safeguards, do they always stay safe? Did you always know? Because they found a way around that. Now, some of you understand certain tools that you get. There's safeguards on those tools. Now, how many of you have used a saw of some sort, and it has a nice safeguard, and you're supposed to use that, but you think it gets in the way, and you think you don't need to worry about that safeguard, because that safeguard is just a pain, and it makes the job harder to get it done. So it's just as easy to take the piece of wood and feed it through the saw, not using that safeguard. And once in a while, if you feel a little guilty, you get another piece of scrap wood and you use that to push it through. But sometimes you don't even do that much, right? And you just push it through. How many have read stories about individuals that didn't use a safeguard and do something to their hands and fingers, Jerry, and you do certain things. Why? Because you didn't use the safeguard that is given. You haven't set up the precautions that you need to be able to do what God would have you to do. And because we don't set up the precautions, the safeguards, you know what happens? We aren't used the way that we ought to be used for God. This church at Philippi had an awesome responsibility as any church, local church, is to be a shining light in their community, a shining light in their culture, a shining light. But if they weren't careful, that light could be dull and they wouldn't be what they ought to be. Do you know in our day and age, we as a church has the awesome privilege and responsibility to be a shining light in this world. But if we're not careful, if we don't set up the safeguards, if we don't take the right precautions, our light can be dulled. Not just as a church. We as individuals, because the church is not a building, the church are the individuals that make up the building, make up this. We are the church, all right? Now, each of us as individuals have an awesome responsibility to let our personal light shine in this dark world. But if you and I personally do not take the precautions, the safeguards that we should, we'll never be shining bright. Here he gives some teachings as he concludes this. Now we know there's several more chapters to come, so we know this conclusion is going to be a little long, but there's some great truths that is given to us. If you're able to, please stand with me as we read from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 this morning. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concupiscence, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Heavenly Father, we ask that you just use your word this morning. Lord, help us to see the truths that you want us to get. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Look again at verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He says, this word finally carries this idea as for the rest or moreover, as for what remains. For the rest that remains, I want you to see this truth again. Rejoice in the Lord. Up to this point, there is 12 times that the word rejoice has been used. 12 times up to this point, he has carried this idea of rejoicing. 6 more times the word joy is used. And what he wants them to do, he wants them to get this idea of rejoicing in the Lord. He says, I want you to get this as I conclude my letter to you, as I conclude this thought to you, I want you to understand this truth of rejoicing in the Lord. But you know what he says about it? To write the same thing you to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Paul reminds them again and he says, you know what? It's not grievous for me to do so. You know, have you ever said to someone the same thing over and over and you get tired of telling them the same thing? How many ever told a spouse the same thing over? No, don't raise your hand. We don't need marriage counseling. But you told the same thing. You told your child the same thing over and over and over again. And how many get tired of telling things? And you say this, I've told you before, why didn't you get it? How many times do I have to tell you, Rich, to do this? How many times do I have to tell you, Rick, not to act that way? How many many times do I have to tell you over and over and over and over again? And we get tired of doing that. You know what Paul says? I don't mind telling you about this truth over again. I want to tell you this truth one more time. I know I've told you this, but I want you to understand this truth. And a precaution that we can carry, and a precaution that we see this morning, and a safeguard we need to keep rejoicing in the Lord. Do you know we should not get tired of hearing about rejoicing in the Lord? We shouldn't get tired about someone telling us, and we shouldn't get tired about telling someone else, hey, we need to rejoice in the Lord. God doesn't make any mistake. Rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in Him. Rejoice in Him. Oh, yes, there's persecution that's happening. There's things that are happening in your day and age, but keep your attitude right. And if your attitude's right, that is a safeguard in the world that you're facing. Do you know it's very easy for us to get a rotten attitude in the culture that we're living in and the day that we're living in? It's very easy to get angry. It's very easy to get upset. But what does the Bible tell us? Rejoice in the Lord. How many of you, you've been walking around and you look like this and someone says, put a smile on your face. And you're like, oh, who are you to tell me to put a smile on my face? I'll put a smile on my face when I want to put a smile on my face. How many of you have seen your kids before? And they look just like they are ready to kill somebody. They got that. And you walk up to them and says, put a smile on your face. And they do this. You know what I'm talking about. But the idea is this. We have to understand our attitude matters. We have to understand that we must rejoice. It shouldn't be grievous us to tell others. It shouldn't be grievous for us to understand, because Paul says it is safe for you. That word safe comes from the same word we get the word asphalt. And if you look at the wording and you look at that there, the original wording, and it carries that which is sure or steadfast or firm. Do you know what it's saying? It's saying this is good for you. This is something you can be certain of. You can be firm upon. It can help you in your life as you're going to face what he's talking about, verse 2 and verse number 3. As you face those things, it's going to help you. We can find certainty as we rejoice in God that we will be able to handle what is thrown our ways in this life. You and I are going to be thrown a lot of things that come our way. But rejoice in the Lord. It's not grievous. It's not grievous for Him to write about it. It's not grievous for Him to tell you about it again. It's not grievous for us to hear it, because it's for our good. It's for our safety. Do you know we need to be told the same thing sometimes, because it's for our good. It's for our help. It's what we need. God knows what we need when we need it. God knows that sometimes we don't get it the first 20 times. We need it 300 times to be able to get it. God knows what we need. And He says, rejoice. Paul's also saying this. I know what you need. I know what I need. And I know you're able to handle it. Do you know there's sometimes we have to be careful what we tell people? Because people can't always handle it. Sometimes people can't handle what they need. How do people react sometimes when you tell them what they need? Yeah, they get upset, they get short, they get those things. Why? Because what is supposed to happen? We're supposed to have the right attitude, but sometimes we're not spiritually mature enough to handle the truth. Let me give a thought. You don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. How many of you have been in church before and the preacher stepped on your toes and you responded with a good attitude, all right? How many of you been in church before and the preacher stepped on your toes and you got mad? You got mad at your spouse because you know your spouse told the preacher something about you. I'm never going to talk to Brother Jerry again, because every time I talk to him, the preacher knows what I said. And we get upset. Wait, we need to be in a place that we can handle what we need in our lives. A safeguard is rejoicing in the Lord. A safeguard is being in a place where you can handle what you need. We need to be in a place that we are growing and maturing in Christ, and that we're able to handle, that it's good for us. It's going to help us to do what God wants us to do. But real quickly, as we look at these thoughts here, we look at verse number 2. It says, beware of dogs. All right, rejoice in the Lord. I'm telling you again, this is for your good. This is safe for you. This is helpful for you. Keep that right attitude, but beware of dogs. Now, the dogs in the Bible, those that were here on Wednesdays, probably 6 months ago, a year ago, we did a study on animals of the Bible. And we talked about dogs. But the dogs in the Bible are not your dogs that you think of today, all right? And if you look in Scripture, most of the time, dogs are not found favorable, all right? Most of the time, they were the prairie dogs. They were ravaging beasts. They would rip apart certain things. They would tear apart certain things. And he's saying here, beware of dogs. Beware of those that are going to come to rip you apart. They would be snapping and snarling at people. Now, I have become more of a dog person to a point than I used to be. I've never been a huge animal fan in my life, especially birds. Those that were here for a birthday, and I've given the bird story. Horses are another evil. But I have come across, those who were here Wednesday, we talked about Philip, the disciple. And Philip's name means one who loves horses. And I told everyone, I'm glad my name was not Philip. And as we see this, we see these dogs. And you know what? I've become more of a dog person to a point and handle that. But I still, if I don't know the dog, I run the other way, because I don't trust the dog. Now, someone shared last week about their dog situation and how there's a dog in their house and how the dog reacts to them and that, and everyone else is great with. And many times in our lives, we don't understand that there's dogs out there, and they're not man's best friend in this point in picture, but they're there to tear you apart. But as they're dogs, rejoice in the Lord. Beware of dogs. Beware of those that are going to come and tear you apart. Beware of those that are going to come and try to destroy you. Beware of those that are going to take the truth and mix it with lies. Beware of those, and rejoice in the Lord, because God is greater than the dogs. This idea is be on alert. Resist the enemy. Rejoice in the Lord, but resist the enemy, the dogs. The dogs were referring to Jewish leaders that were perverting the gospel, destroying the gospel. It also talks about the evil workers. The evil workers were not just the savaging beasts, but they were the ones that were deceiving. They were polluting. They were watering down the truth. There was those that were going to come and rip apart. Now let's give a thought here. How many of you ever met someone and you know that their sole purpose was to try to destroy you or destroy someone? Let's just be honest. We've seen it. They were evil intent, and their goal was to try to get you to stumble or get you to fall or destroy you or destroy your testimony. Tanya and I, when we first got married, she was finishing school. I was on staff at a church in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. I also worked at a place that was for mentally handicapped, had thousands of individuals. I did maintenance there and working there. But I remember there were individuals, their goal was to see if this preacher would stumble. And they would try to find certain things and say certain things and do certain things, because their whole goal was to what? To see an individual not live up to what they say and see him destroyed. Do you know we have dogs today that want to see you destroyed? This world is not for you. This world's against you. Our young people need to get a hold of that. I know us older ones, we kind of understand that a little more. But I tell you, our generation, our younger generation does not get this, do not understand this. And they think the reason the mom and dad say what they say and the reason the church says what it says and the reason we do this is because we're just trying to be mean to them. No, beware of the dogs. Beware of this world. Beware of those that are going to try to destroy you. They're not your friends. They're not for you. They're not trying to help you. They're trying to tear you down. I tell you, there's nothing wrong with once in a while watching some entertainment. But let me tell you, Hollywood is not for you. It's to destroy you. The things that are produced in programs, in YouTube, in Facebook, in all the stuff that is being produced and put out and done, beware of the dogs. Because there's an agenda out there in this world today. There's an agenda out in this world today. Get this. There's an agenda out in this world today to destroy the believer. And to destroy the church. Beware of the dogs. Beware of those that are going to come in and try to rip your families apart. Do you know the devil knows? If he can destroy your home, he can destroy the testimony of the Lord, and he can destroy the church as well. Beware of the dogs. They're going to try to rip apart the foundation and the core of your home and of the church. There is a group out there today. They go around and plant themselves in churches. They act the part. They look the part, but their goal is to get into the church, infiltrate themselves into the church, to take over the church and destroy the church. There's a church called Community Baptist. There was a church called Community Baptist in Mount Clemens, Michigan. The church that I was saved at and baptized at. A church that was a good church, solid church. The pastor of long time, retired, a new pastor came in. And he had a different agenda, a different purpose. Come to find out, his purpose was to basically destroy the church, redo the church into what he wanted. And they even had a church death. And it said the death of Community Baptist Church. And they put this banner over the sign of the church. And they had a funeral service for the death of the church. And then the next week, they had a resurrection service for this new church that doesn't even preach the gospel. Beware of dogs. Beware of those that are coming in to destroy and to rip apart the very foundations and truth. There's an individual that I'm acquainted with. And I don't want to say too much. Some of them might even come in contact with them. But this individual is a chaplain for one of our facilities in the area. This individual just posted, "It no longer matters about theology and doctrine. And it doesn't matter," and he's thrown all that out because those things don't matter anymore. This individual is a graduate of an institution that most of you are familiar with. This individual would at one time been in total alignment of where you and I stand. Beware of dogs. Beware of those that are trying to get in and destroy and tear you apart. there are individuals, there are preachers that you and I have known throughout the years that have preached the Word of God. But they have allowed the dogs, they allowed the evil workers to get in and destroy. And there's some that aren't even going to church themselves, or they have gone totally against what they used to teach and stand for. Beware of the dogs. Rejoice in the Lord, because the dogs are coming. Yes, they're going to come and try to destroy you, but rejoice in the Lord. It is safe for you. It's a certain truth. No matter this world is wicked, you can still stand. You can still rejoice. You can still live for God. Set up those precautions. Evil workers, they come in and they abuse and use. They try to deceive. And they have tactics that come in. You know what the devil tries to do? The devil tries to paint a picture that looks appealing, but it's not the truth. There are a lot of things out there that sound good, but if you dig into it, then it ain't good. Okay, good grammar right there. Now, some of you may like this, but how many of you have ever had calamari before? You know what that is, right? And some people like that. I don't mind it. But how many of you ever had it not fried before? Some of you can stomach it when it's fried. But if you take the breading off, you have something else there that you may not like. Do you know that's the same in Scripture? There are some things in our lives, there are some things in our lives that may not be good, that may not be what we want. And the devil is trying to say it looks good. It looks good because it's all fried. Most people like fried food, right? It's all fried. But if you peel the breading off, you got something else there. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of those. For we beware of the concision, and that means cutting into pieces. You Jews think you are circumcised, but you've just been cut in pieces. Now, what does that all mean? That day, what did they do to identify? If you study this back and you look back, they were circumcised. And when they were circumcised, and we can go in the Old Testament even more, and it talk about the circumcision and what it meant, and there was those that were uncircumcised and what it meant, and there was the whole picture and whole teaching of that there. And he's saying there is, some of you have done the procedure, some of you have gone through the motions, but that's all you've done. That's all it is. Beware of those. Beware of the Jews. Beware of those that have just gone through the motions. Just because you've been circumcised does not mean you're of Christ. Just because someone is religious doesn't mean they're of Christ. You know, we need to safeguard ourselves against the religions of the day. What do you mean? Religion has never saved a person. And there's many man-made religions out there. And we need to be careful of the man-made religions. We need to be careful. There were Jews that professed to believe in Jesus, but insisted that circumcision was essential to salvation. And Paul says, no, it's not. You can be circumcised and still be lost. Do you know there's religions that teach faith plus something else? Do you know Scripture clearly teaches, not just in Ephesians, not just in Titus, it teaches throughout Scripture that it's in faith and faith alone plus nothing else? Do you know salvation is not found in faith plus works? It has never been and it will never be. The Old Testament saints, if you look at Hebrews 11, it says, by faith. They were not saved by faith and works. Some teach that. That's not. They were saved by faith, the same way we're saved. Some say, well, after you get left, if you left during the tribulation period and you left here, you can there could be those that get saved, and they're going to be saved now again, just like the Old Testament saints, by faith and works. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's always been by faith, always will be by faith, because it's nothing that man has done. It's only what we find in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Him and Him alone for salvation. And it says, beware of these that will try to teach something contrary to what the Word of God says. We must rejoice in the Lord. We must resist the enemy. But look at verse number 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. The religion of the Judaizers was a religion of works, of the flesh. The true circumcision worship was God in the spirit. True circumcision had to do with the heart, not with an outward activity. You see, you got to resist the devil. You got to resist the lies. You got to rejoice in the Lord. But you got to refrain from having confidence in the flesh. How many of you ever trusted your flesh before? You know what I mean by that? You trusted your flesh. You thought your feelings, your way of doing things made sense to you because you're trusting yourself. It just felt right. It just felt good. How many of you have said, this just feels like the right thing to do? Anyone ever done that? I think we've all done that at times. And you know what? We have no confidence in our flesh. Why? What is our flesh? What does the Bible tell us? Is there any good in us? No, that's our flesh. There is no good in you. There is no good in me. Our flesh is vile, waste, rubbish, done, as Scripture calls it. All our flesh, and that's why we have the battle that goes on in our lives. But we have no confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in ourselves. You ever have someone tell you, you should just have confidence in me? And you think for a minute, maybe I should. But think about this. How can you have confidence in someone, truly have confidence in someone, that is a human being just like you? Because we know the way we think. We know the way we act. We know how we're not faithful. We know how we do things. You can't have confidence in that individual because that confidence is in what that person's flesh. That's why Scripture tells us, where do we have confidence in? Not in ourselves, not in other people, but we have confidence in who? God. We have confidence in Him. And what Paul was saying is, all right, there's those that are trying to trick you. There are those that are trying to come against with the teaching. There are those that are doing this. Resist them, but understand you need to refrain from saying, well, they're good people. They're well-meaning people, so they can't be all wrong. So maybe I should listen to what they're saying. Don't put any confidence in the flesh. Don't put any confidence in what they're saying, because that's not true. Your confidence has to be in Jesus Christ and the message that He tells you. We've all been there. Our heart goes out to someone that we've known for a long time, that maybe done some good for us, maybe helped us, maybe been a religious person, but we've been there at their deathbed, if you will. And we think this thought, well, maybe they'll be in heaven. But we know that they never received the Lord. They didn't want anything to do with the Lord. And what does our flesh try to do? Well, maybe it's okay. Maybe there's a loophole. Maybe there's something. And I'm not trying to be unkind this morning, because I know we've had many loved ones, all of us that have had many loved ones, that we're not sure if they're in heaven or where they are, because we're not sure if there had been a time in life when they truly received the Lord. But what do? We we start to say, well, they can't be all that bad. They can't be that way. And we put confidence in flesh instead of confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to put the safeguards. We need to put safeguards up in regards to our lives. We need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to resist the devil. We need to refrain from the flesh. Paul says other places, we're to put off certain things. We're to put on certain things in our life. That refraining from the flesh means we put off certain things that are going to feed the flesh in our lives. I want you to go to Daniel chapter 6 as we conclude. Finally, as we come to a conclusion here. Some of you got that. Some of you didn't get that. Daniel chapter 1, I mean, not Daniel 6. Daniel chapter 1. And I want us to look at verse 8 through verse 16 as we bring this. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into his favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your face worse likening the children, which are of sort? Then shall he make me endangered my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, who the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azrael, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consisted to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh and all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Now, I want you to think about this. Safeguards, we got to rejoice in the Lord. Safeguards, we got to resist the devil. We got to refrain from the flesh. But how do we do this? How do we put this all into practice? We must purpose in our heart that we're not going to defile ourselves. We got to come to this place in our lives that we got to rejoice. We got to resist. We got to refrain. How do we do this? We must come up with a plan and a purpose in our lives so we do not defile ourselves and we live the way God wants us to live. How many of you ever said before, well, I want to rejoice in God. I want to resist the devil. And I want to refrain from the flesh. And you have that good intentions. And then you leave your devotions. You leave a church. You leave and you go out and you find yourself not rejoicing in the Lord. Because you walk out and you get in your car and you drive. And Brother Brian cuts you off. And you're not rejoicing anymore. You go and you hear some teachings. You hear some things. You hear the dogs. You hear this. And you know you need to resist it. You know you need to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know you need not to listen to it. You need not to take that part. You need not to do that. And you know the purpose of the dogs. You know the purpose of the evil workers. You know all that. But you find yourself sitting at the table with them, eating and drinking with them, and now you're partaking of that activity. Wait, I said I wasn't going to do that. I said I was going to rejoice. I said I wasn't going to be a part of that. I was going to resist the devil. Resist the evil workers. Have you ever said, well, I got to refrain from the flesh. I can't feed the flesh. I know the Bible says that, you know, be not deceived, God is not mocked, For whatsoever man soweth, that shall I also reap. And I know I'm not supposed to feed the flesh. I'm supposed to feed the spirit. I know if I feed the flesh, it's going to reap corruption. If I feed the spirit, it's going to reap life everlasting. I know this. But man, I feed myself through my eyes. I feed myself through my hands and my feet and my actions and my thoughts and all the things. And I feed myself, and I'm not feeding what I need. I'm feeding the garbage in and garbage out, and I'm putting that in there. Wait a second. I said I was going to refrain from the flesh. I was going to refrain from that. I wasn't going to put works with it. I have no confidence in my flesh. My confidence is in Jesus Christ. Why am I struggling with this? We come to the place that we must develop a plan and purpose to carry out what God wants us to do. Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel made a plan. Daniel had it put together, his safeguards, the way he was going to put things together so he could fulfill what God wanted him to do. He knew God did not want him to be defiled, and he said, because I know God doesn't want me to be defiled, I'm going to refrain, I'm going to do certain things, and this is the plan. Do you know our plan to live for God and to put up those safeguards is not always an easy plan? We got to keep that in mind. It's not always an easy plan. He had to go and talk to someone that was over him, that did not have to even listen to him. And Daniel really didn't even have the right to go to that individual. But he still did. Do you know we got to do some hard things in our lives if we're going to set up a plan sometimes? We got to come up with a way that we're going to be able to do it. And sometimes we got to confront, we got to talk, we got to go through some channels to set up that plan. It's not always easy to do it. How many have ever asked someone something and you're afraid to go ask them about it? How many have ever had that? You've had that before, where you've had that where you're afraid to go ask someone for it. But you know you need to do that. You know you need to go to that boss. You know you need to go to that individual. Daniel purposed in his heart, and he went before and he pleaded his case. He had a plan. Now, as you look at Daniel's plan, it wasn't easy because he had to confront, he had to talk to someone. Number two, if you look at Daniel's plan, what did Daniel do? Daniel took what God wanted to do and said, I need to do it. Do you know the number two thing of our plan? Is we got to realize what God wants and say, it doesn't matter what I want, God's more important than what I want. You see, if I'm going to put the safeguards, if I'm going to put that in order, if I'm going to do that, I must come to the place that I say it does not matter what I want in my life. If I'm going to purpose in my heart, if I'm going to set up the plan, if I'm going to have the right heart, if I'm going to have the right mindset, if I'm going to do those things, I must realize it does not matter what I want. Do you know many of us, we say we want what God wants, but the truth of the matter is we really want what we want. We want what we want in our lives. That's why we do it. That's why we don't set up the plan. Do you know most of us know what the plan is that we need to do in our lives, but we don't want to do the plan because if we know we do the plan, then we're going to do what God wants us to do, and that isn't what we want. Oh, preacher, none of us are that way. We always want what God wants in our lives. Do you know we're very selfish human beings? And do you know we're wicked human beings? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be unkind, but that's the truth. I am just as wicked as you are. And what we want is what we want. But if we purpose in our heart, we realize, hey, it's not about what I want. It's God. He took a hard task. He went and he talked. He went and said, okay, confronted the issue. That's how we need to confront the issue. We need to confront that in our lives. We need to have that plan. He understood it, that he needed to do what God wanted, not what he wanted. Thirdly, he had to take the right steps. And he had to put the plan into practice. How many have ever thought of a plan, but you never carried out the plan? You thought of a plan for something. You were going to build something. How many have ever thought about building something before? And you had this great imagination, and the creative juices just flowed. And you had this idea what you were going to build. It was going to be this awesome construction. And man, this structure, it was going to be awesome. You were going to build it. And you thought about it for a long time. You dreamed about it. You woke up crunching numbers for it and putting it all together. And in your mind, you had how it was. And how many of that was 15, 20, 30 years ago and you've never built it? All right? We do that, spiritually speaking, many times. The safeguards, we know what we need to put on. We know we need to rejoice. We know we need to resist. We know we need to refrain. We know it's safe for us. We know it's good for us. We know we need to be doing this. We know what we should be doing. And we come up with a plan, but we never put the plan into words. Do you know one of the steps we need to do is start doing the plan? You know what the plan is for us to be able to put the safeguards? I'm going to give you real quickly a simple plan to help you put safeguards in. The plan you need in life so you don't defile yourself. You first need to seek God in prayer. Because you and I can never put the plan in practice if we're not in prayer. If we're not in communication with God, we will fail every time in our lives. We got to pray. Daniel sought God. Daniel prayed. Daniel went to God. We have to have prayer. We have to have communication. And I'm not talking, Lord, thank you for this fruit, amen. I'm talking true communication with God. Do you know most believers don't have true communication with their God? And that's why they never put the plan into practice. Because who tries to put the plan into practice? They do. And when we do, we're putting confidence in what? The flesh. And we can't carry out the plan. We need to have prayer. We need to be in God's word. You're never going to put, this is simple. We've known this since Sunday school classes. But this is truth. We'll never put God's plan. We'll never put that plan into practice. We'll never carry out. We'll never set the safeguards if we're not in God's word. You need to know God's word. You need to love God's word. You need to apply God's word to your heart and to your life. Number three, how do we set up this? How do we put this plan in there? We have to be willing to work. Do you know the Christian life, if we're going to put the plan in practice, it doesn't come by just sitting down and hoping somehow magically things are going to take place. Now, some of you did that in school. Remember, you used to go to bed and put your history book right next to your head and hope osmosis would take place. Some of you are laughing, but you know it's true. And you thought somehow, even though you never opened that book, it would put it by your head. Somehow it would sink in and soak in during the night. All right? Some of you, you even went a little further. You would play something on a tape. This is back in the old days, a tape, a cassette tape. For some, it was a 8-track, Rick. And some of you, it was the old vinyl records, Brian. And you would play those things. And you would hope, while you were sleeping, something would sink in, right? And get that. You know, we do that. We're not willing to put the work in our Christian life. We're not saved by works, but we need to work. What does that mean? We got to start taking and start doing and not just hoping someday it's going to magically happen. Someday my plan's going to happen. Someday this building's going to be, I'm not sure how. I'm not willing to pick up a hammer. I'm not willing to pick up a saw. I'm not willing to do that. It's just going to magically happen. That's how we approach our spiritual life. We need work. We have a lot of lazy believers in our world today. safeguards because they're not willing to put it into practice, into work. Paul says, finally, rejoice in the Lord. Keep rejoicing. It's not grievous for me to tell you this. It's a safe thing for you. Because there's the beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of those that are taking circumcision and meaning it to be something that it's not. Beware of those. Don't refrain from the flesh. Refrain from the flesh. Follow after God. Follow after Christ. Take these truths and let's put a plan together and let's live a life that is pleasing in His sight. Jesus says in John chapter 8, I do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. Let me ask you this morning, are you and I doing always those things that please our Heavenly Father? Let's set up the safeguards. Let's set up the precautions that we need in our lives. Heavenly Father, we